Hi, Steve Artimer here, and welcome to the New Life Live podcast. We hope to provide help and hope in your life through God's Word, counselors, and psychologists as we answer questions from listeners who call with the challenges of life. Let's go to today's episode.
Well, hello, everyone. I am so excited because it's Wednesday. That means we are making it halfway through the week, and we're looking forward to the weekend. I know that you're excited about it, too. I'm also excited because in today's show, we're going to take calls for 2 hours, 1-800-229-3000, and we are going to hear from Dr. Jackie Mack Harris and Chris Williams. And, of course, Chris, right now, I want to hear the great wisdom from Chris Williams. What do you got on your mind today?
The great wisdom. thank you for that. I'll take it for whatever it's worth. But we have these terms, right? Each, like, we call it jargon, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. So, like, each business or industry field has its own jargon. Like, as therapists, we have our jargon. And, you know, people who are around us that hear our jargon can often roll their eyes. Well, there's a jargon term out there. It's this word efforting. You know, hey, I'm efforting that, meaning I'm in the process of doing it, okay. You know. Okay. So I think sometimes it can be used manipulatively. It's like, have you gotten to that? And like, am I procrastination? The answer is a hard no. But I might say, well, I'm efforting that right now.
Okay.
You know, efforting. But the truth of the matter is that we are constantly efforting something. And a lot of what we're efforting is progress, advancement, health, it could be pursuing of a relationship. It could be efforting a relationship, efforting a career, efforting some kind of achievement. But and quite honestly, some of us struggle with efforting in our addiction and efforting in our struggles and traumas. But there is this weird thing that we see in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. And one version says it like this. Strive to enter God's rest. And so we have this sort of juxtaposition of striving and resting. Another, the NIV says, make every effort to enter God's rest. And I just believe that, yeah, I've been talking a lot about this lately because I think it's so pertinent to my own life. I have a buzz of anxiety underneath the surface that is driving me forward to this task and that task, this responsibility and that responsibility, you know, home, work, ministry, all of the things that I'm efforting in my life. And what that does is it makes the key essential aspect of the need of my soul to be a challenge and the need of my soul to rest in God. And so I've just found that I have to then start efforting into God's rest, which takes a lot of effort,
it does.
To be honest.
It does.
You know?
Yeah. Rest is a type of work.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think of it as work. I heard on the news today somebody's talking about going to a 4-day work week because hybrid workers aren't as productive on Friday, so you might as well give them the day off. But people are starting to see rest as more valuable.
Yeah.
It's a part of being able to do the job, being able to stay in ministry, being able to continue efforting.
Mm-hmm.
You must have rest.
Well, it's interesting because when I am working with my creatives and they're engaging in a creative project and they're stuck, their first assignment is a 2-day rest.
Mm. Same with dissertations.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
That's a creative process.
Yeah.
I love that. And Chris, what you're talking about too with the anxiety, it's almost like we get on a flywheel or a treadmill, and the anxiety to effort is self-propulsion. But
yes.
It could lead you nowhere if you're not aware of where those efforts are heading your life. And we hear about that all the time. We want you to have a life that's on purpose. You are going to have to exert some effort, but it may be you may need to call us first. 1-800-229-3000. We're going to be back after this. Thanks, Chris.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
I'm Steve Artimer with a New Life Moment. When I was 3 years old, I went on an Easter egg hunt. Being so young, my mom let me watch the organizers hide the eggs. Before long, I'd spotted the man with the big one, the jumbo-sized, cream-filled chocolate egg wrapped in golden foil. The moment I heard go, I raced to the shallow hole where I'd seen him hide the egg, but my hand found nothing. I tried digging and pulling grass, then a loud scream broke my concentration. My prized egg had been moved to the oak tree and discovered by Leslie Waters. What had begun as a calculated victory ended in bitter defeat. Yet I did learn a valuable lesson. Often we're looking for happiness and fulfillment in exactly the wrong place. Do you find yourself searching for the big one? Well, visit me, Steve Arterburn, at newlife.com, and thanks for listening to this New Life Moment.
I'm always amazed. We pick these New Life Moments without knowing whatever is going to be presented in the opening. And Chris, if that isn't an efforting, right?
Right.
He's looking for the egg in the wrong place. And that's what we're talking about with that. Isn't that amazing? We're so grateful for Steve's wisdom as well. And look forward to his return after sabbatical. But right now we're going to go to calls. We are taking calls 1-800-229-3000. And we are going to go to Jennifer, who's calling us from Seattle, listens on the podcast. You can too. You can download that podcast wherever you get your podcast. Hi, Jennifer. How can we help you today?
Hi. I have an in-law. She's my husband's aunt. And she has been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Mm. And she's in her early 70s, and she has made the decision to go ahead with death with dignity. And we were supposed to go to her house, or my in-law's house this weekend to say our goodbyes. And I'm struggling with this decision. And I'm mostly concerned as a going and being supportive of such a thing. I struggle with this choice, and as a Christian, I keep landing on it's just not, it's getting ahead of God. Mm.
Well, Jennifer, that is tough. Jackie, how can we start?
Well, Jennifer, your concern, it sounds like this is just, it's not a choice you would make, and so it's really hard for you to imagine going and saying your goodbyes. And I think I hear you saying that you feel like you'd be in agreement with her choice if you were to go and say your goodbyes. So my Correct. Question is, what would it be like for you to not go?
I think my husband wants me by his side, but I would prefer not to go. Because I'm just worried I'm going to cry or blurt out something, you know. I mean, I certainly could ask questions, but that was my first thought. Like, maybe I just shouldn't go.
Can I jump in? Because I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm so sorry, Jennifer. I am actually a little bit unclear on the dilemma. What's the struggle of
I don't know that I should go to be and be supportive of, like, I wonder if I show up, am I saying I am okay with this and I'm going to say goodbye to you?
Because of her choice of not seeking treatment? Am I getting that correct?
So she's choosing assisted suicide.
Oh.
And so, Jennifer, you're in disagreement with that choice. You're not necessarily
Correct.
Going and saying, I think this is a great idea. You're going and saying goodbye,
yeah.
which is what she's requesting. And what your husband is requesting is that you just be there to comfort him. This isn't
Correct.
A decision you are making. This doesn't fall on you at all.
No.
This is her choice.
Mm-hmm.
I, as Christians, we often get tied up in other people's behaviors as though somehow that creates sin for us. And I think it gets us in trouble because mm-hmm. it's not ours to judge. It's not our choices to make. All we're called to do really is love. And would you be showing love to your husband and your aunt to be there and be supportive. You don't have to ask questions. You don't have to say, I think this is a great idea. But you're not in her experience and you're not in her body. And so you can't know why she's choosing what she's choosing. So God's not going to hold you accountable for her choice.
Yeah. I'm really kind of seeing that similarly. Like, Jennifer, obviously, we wouldn't want to advise you to get into a situation that would be a primary violation of your conscience, right? We want you to live at peace with yourself first. But I think that what Jackie is saying kind of hits with me in the sense that oftentimes we're afraid that acceptance equals agreement.
Yes.
It does not, my friend. We have to accept a lot of things in this life that we do not agree with.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And so we need to be able to kind of differentiate that out for ourselves. And then I think wrestle through this situation to then redefine what it means for you. Is this a situation where you are supporting your husband as he's going through a difficult time and being there by his side? And you're accepting that this is their choice, although you don't agree with it, and that you would do it very, very differently.
I think that's our relationship with God. We are radically accepted by God, and I know he doesn't agree with most of our choices.
Yes. Yeah. It,
like, children of Israel. Children of Israel, right?
I'm wondering, too, Jennifer, what your experience with grief has been up to this point in your life, because a lot of that might be kind of circling around this choice. How have you experienced grief in your lifetime up to this point?
Oh, my goodness. I have had so much grief, I guess. My own immediate family, I have lost so many family members. And fairly young, like my parents, fairly young, and aunts and uncles. And I don't know, I feel like I've buried a lot of people in a diminishing circles.
And that has created an unbelievable amount of suffering for you, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and it makes sense that you would not want to. Because for me, I don't know if you feel this, Jennifer, but for me, underneath that, I would almost be angry that this person would choose this, because it seems like they would be choosing intentional suffering for others.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's also be clear here. The death march itself is pancreatic cancer.
And it's a solo journey.
Yeah.
Nobody can go with her.
Yeah. I lost my father-in-law to pancreatic cancer, and it went quick from time of diagnosis to his passing. There were 6 weeks, and brutal and difficult and hard. And our hearts just really sit here and want to care for you and care for your heart in the deep grief that you have experienced in your life, with also this great question that Becky asked that brings to the surface of, like, you know what? I don't think I want to suffer more.
Which is rational, right?
And
who
makes
wants
sense.
To go through it? I mean, you know, and Jennifer, the reason why I asked that about that is, and you outlined it perfectly, you've lost so much, so you know what's coming. I would also want to pivot, whatever your decision is, whether you go or whether you don't go, that you have a peace, just like what Chris opened the show with, that this is the decision that I am making. And I will be able to live the rest of my life knowing that that was my decision. Now, that sounds like a big weight to carry, but that's where you're wrestling with right now. Right, Jennifer? You said, I don't want to go if it's going to be. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, how can we help you with that process? Do you have good support around you? It sounds like your husband's supportive of whatever you need, but, like, how do you get to the peace that you will need in this decision?
Yeah, because I think part of the struggle, Jennifer, to take in consideration is it's important for you to make a choice that you can live with.
Right.
your choice will also impact your husband, and that's a part of what you're going to live with. And so I think it's important for you to choose what's right for you in the same way that your aunt is choosing what she believes is right for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think my husband has sort of on the same page with just, it's her choice.
Mm-hmm.
And, the other siblings and his family will all be there. And, I'm part of that circle. So it would be strange for me not to be there. And I do really believe that, God can take a situation and, I have to remember, and I often do, thank him for the problems because,
mm-hmm.
It's resiliency, right?
Yeah.
At the heart of it. And being obedient, I don't want to turn away from potentially being, the face of Jesus for someone who doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And sometimes we're called into really hard situations. And this sounds like a really hard situation. It's double grief. It's the anticipation of the loss of the aunt, mm-hmm. but also the choice. You're going to grieve the choice.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so if you
exactly.
choose to go, put the choice alongside of the alongside of the death as a loss that you are grieving.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well,
and
Jennifer, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and Jennifer, one more thing that you said that I just kind of want to touch on here for a little bit is that you said, I want to be the face of Jesus. And I love that. But I think underneath that, I would want you to realize the power of being the face of Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the things that we forget is that our presence matters. Especially in times of grief and loss. My advice oftentimes, my coaching of pastors in the grief process is I tell them, you are going to overestimate your words and underestimate your presence.
Mm.
The power of your ministry will be your presence. It will not be your words.
Yeah.
And so your ability to sit in silence in that awkwardness with a loving presence. And the other thing about that is that when people in our lives matter, show up for us at critical times, it's just so important. And I'm just wondering if I want to be the face of Jesus for sure. But in that, you have to first show up as the face of Jennifer.
And if you're thinking about how Jesus shows up, look at the Gospels.
Mm-hmm.
He shows up in places that people don't expect him to show up,
mm-hmm.
in ways that people would not expect him to show up and often don't approve of. And he does things that the human wouldn't do, right? The natural man is not going to choose supporting the woman who's had five husbands and the one she's with now is not her husband. But he's offering her grace.
Mm-hmm.
He's offering her true mm-hmm. living water. And so if you're going to go with the purpose of sharing the light of Jesus and the beauty of Jesus, keep that in mind.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay.
Well, Jennifer, we will be praying for you in these days. And I'm going to send you a copy of the Life Recovery Workbook on Grief, which I think will be helpful in the days ahead, whether it's for you or for your family who will be missing your aunt in the days ahead. Grief is something we will all experience, yet we will experience it in unique ways from different circumstances. And it's not always because of the loss of a loved one. Grief is experienced because of loss. And mm-hmm. if you're human, you're gonna feel loss. And it's also, in situations where we are losing a loved one, it's evidence of that love. And that's why we feel it so great. We're going to be right back answering your calls after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I know that you have missed Steve. I don't take that personally. I miss him too. I miss him too. But you know, if you're part of our Club New Life, which is our monthly giving family, and we have many people who are part of the Club New Life, we're going to do a Zoom meeting with Steve, and he's going to talk to us and you know, give us the update on all the things that have been on his mind during the sabbatical. If you want to join Club New Life, give us a call and we will get you connected. And we just want to thank all of our Club New Life family who give to the ministry. It is changing people's lives, and that's what we are here to do. So we're going to go to the calls. We're taking calls for the next couple hours, 1-800-229-3000. And I know there's something on your mind that you need to talk to somebody about. I hear it all the time. I should have called. I want to call. Call. 1-800-229-3000. We're going to talk with Patty right now, who's calling us from Washington, D.C., listens on WAVA. Hi, Patty. Thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Hi. I think this was a God thing because I eat. You're my lunch buddies every day. I eat lunch with you guys. And get
what's for lunch
wisdom.
Today, Patty?
Today I went, you need to call. It really hadn't even occurred to me, but honest, Scots. But I am calling. This is my situation. I'm a widow. My kids, I have four living children. I lost my beloved youngest son to fentanyl in 2018. And I'm calling about his twin sister, my only daughter, who the twins are the youngest in my family, and in three we call them the big boys. And the daughter has had a lot of challenging issues. Well, physically, she's a breast cancer survivor. She was in the Peace Corps at the time she was diagnosed. She's fine. She's absolutely fantastic physically, as far as God willing, we all know. But, oh, my Lord, she is dealing with a lot of emotional stuff, a lot. And she recently apparently has been diagnosed. Well, first of all, I'm the most powerful person in the world. You guys should know that, according to my daughter. My daughter, everything bad that happens to her is my fault. And I'm told it in no uncertain terms. And I'm a widow. I've been a widow since 2019. By the grace of God and the grace of my husband, I'm comfortable. You know, thank God, I'm comfortable. I'm not wealthy. And my daughter bought a very nice home out on the West Coast with her husband. Well, now she's divorced her husband, who I told her I thought she was throwing away happiness with both hands. I say too much. I have a big mouth. I shouldn't have said that because she didn't like it. Anyhow, enough. She called and texted and everything the other day. She wants me to give her between $25,000 and $35,000 toward fixing up her house because now that she's there alone, she can't afford the mortgage and she's going to take in housemates. And my eldest, who's the one who lives closest to me, is beyond furious with his sister. And I talked to another good friend who's around where I live, and I ended up saying no. And the very next morning, which was just a few days ago, I woke up. And I thought, well, it had been discussed. Maybe I'd take money out of the trust, give it to her now, have it said she gets it now, not when I die. And after all of this, and my daughter is like, okay. But I'm sure it wasn't really okay with her. But anyway, I woke up the next morning and thought, I can't stand the thought that she's sitting there clicking away time until I die so she gets money. I don't know if she's doing that, but that was in my mind, and I kind of wouldn't be surprised. So I don't know what I should do about the money. That's my main question in calling you guys. And it's a lot of hurt involved.
Yeah, gosh, Patty. Well, Chris, how can we encourage her?
Well, we oftentimes hear the term objectification. What I see in our culture, the number one objectification is of people is a dollar sign, is reducing people down to an object. And what happens is that there's this thing, actually, Patty, called the Cartman triangle or the drama triangle. And it's a relational dynamic that is incredibly unhealthy or shows us unhealthy relationships. And there's three parts to it. There's a victim, and there's a persecutor, and then there's a rescuer. And this sounds really strange, but typically the most powerful person in the triangle is the victim. And the reason why is because it's self-identified, and they're the ones that determine the other positions. So your daughter sounds like she's in a desperate situation, mostly internal in herself, where she has adopted a victim position or a victim role. So she doesn't believe that inside of her is the solution. Someone outside of her. And people aren't the solution. Objects are the solution, like money.
And remodeling.
Yeah. Like the whole thing doesn't make sense. So you are either going to be a rescuer, and if you are not, you are going to be a persecutor, and there's no other positions available. Does that make sense? So it's a really, really difficult thing. You hear the music playing, and we're going to go to a break here soon. But I'll talk a little bit more about what it means to break out of that, what I call the Bermuda Triangle of relational death.
I'm damned if I do or damned if I don't.
So yeah, we're going to head to a break right now, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk a lot more about, like, how do I break this thing and get out of it and find a new role for me?
Yes, we will.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope, and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are so glad you're with us. We've got some lines open, 1-800-229-3000, but we're in the middle of a call with Patty, who made the brave decision to say no to her adult daughter who was asking for money. Chris, you want to continue?
Yeah. You know, we were talking at the break, Patty, and we're saying that, much like our previous caller, in the decisions that we make, what we want to be able to do is live at peace with our decisions.
Yeah.
But our decisions also, I think, need to be governed by values or principles. And so when the, you know, like this decision, I do need to protect this money. It does have a purpose. It does have a an intention. And a remodel on a house is not its intention. It's not its purpose, you know. So if you expect it to be that purpose, it's not the money's fault or the decision's fault. It's the expectation's fault.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it definitely does.
And so we can live at peace with that. But I think the real work here is that we can, especially in families that are in conflict, what is governing our feelings and our thoughts and our behaviors is a reactivity to other people's unhealthiness. And all that breeds is unhealthy, more unhealthiness. Mm-hmm. And this is this is something we've worked on in our in my organization and company recently, is we clarify our values. Here's the four core values. And these four core values are going to guide every decision that we make. And the mission is going to be the mission and what we're going to do. Anything else that it could be a fantastic idea is still a hard no because it doesn't fit.
Right.
And she's trying to pull you into supplying funds for her values.
Yes.
And she's reacting to what's going on in her life by doing external things, by starting a new project. And How We Love, it's one of the things the Vacillator does. They start a new crusade when their anxiety, their anxiety builds, they blow. And then they start a new crusade, and that's what it seems like she's doing here, even with, you know, the ways that, she has talked to you. But you said that you woke up and realized she's waiting for me to die so she can get some money. And I think that
I don't know if that's true.
But that's just kind of your thought. That's the thought up for you after this whole, like almost prodigal son experience with her.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I think that for you, one, like you said, you don't know for a fact that that's what she's thinking, but even that it came up for you based on the experiences you've had with her and maybe conversations with your other children, I think that it's, the thought is something you have to grieve because it's something you won't be able to control.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right. The possibility that that's what's happening here. I mean, it actually made me think of some work that I need to do with somebody. It kind of gave me some clarity. So thank you for the call, because that that is what the situation is that there is an expectation of care, and that care is coming through the objectification. Right. You are the money. You're the ATM. Yeah. And that is how she is going to demand that you show her love. And so then I kind of wonder, has that been a pattern throughout life? Like, were you all kind of the in some families, there's an emotional avoidance. And so there isn't a lot of hugs and love and verbal.
I would not say that, because I grew up, it was more the generation where I knew I was loved, but I wasn't hugged and all that. It just wasn't done.
Right.
But they've been very, very loved and hugged and all that. Okay. But there was a lot of trauma. Her, I had to leave her father because of violence. Mm. And I will also say that this girl, my boys have never been violent with me, but my daughter's been violent with me to the point where I don't want to go. She's on the West Coast, I'm on the East. I don't, if I go out to visit, I won't stay with her because I don't totally trust her.
Yeah. Well, and Patty, that makes sense with your wisdom. One of the things we talked about at the break was the fact that you said no. Mm-hmm. That you, and she said okay. So you've got some understanding there, but dealing with that feeling is part of the work of what you have to go towards. I'm going to send you a copy of Doing Life with Your Adult Children. I think you're doing pretty well, but I think, you know, that efforting towards peace, like what you were talking about, Chris, will be part of your next journey. Patty, we're so grateful to have spent lunch with you today, and we appreciate that call. 1-800-229-3000. We're going to continue to take calls. But I want to remind you, we have a matching gift campaign that's going on. And what that means is that every dollar that you give to New Life is going to be doubled up until $400,000. We had a great group of donors who said, we believe in the ministry. We want to keep getting the word of hope and help out there to so many people that need it. And we want to support that. And we want to invite other people to join in with us. And I want to invite you to join in with us and to support New Life. Maybe you've never given us a dollar. Today is the day, because it becomes $2, although I would want you to do a little bit more. But hey, we'll take a dollar. It'll make a difference overall in the life of somebody. And you can do that by going to newlife.com/donate. You can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you can go and you can text the word match to 28950. Whatever way that you can give, it will make a difference. And I just want to invite you into that. Right now, we're going to go back to the calls. We're going to talk with Sylvia, who's calling us from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on the station WFIL. Hello, Sylvia. How can we help you today? Thanks for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. The reason why I'm calling, my husband passed away 10 days ago, and we're having a difficult time explaining to our 4.5-year-old grandson, who spent much time with us, where is his grandfather. And I was hoping you might give me some suggestions so to bring it up to him when he's asking questions, yet on his level.
Sylvia, have you guys had a ceremony? Have you guys had a funeral or anything like that for your husband yet?
Not yet. It will be next week.
Okay. Okay. First and foremost, my heart just absolutely breaks for you and your family. And, you know, the loss that we experience in this life. Mm-hmm. I'll say this. We go to great lengths to avoid it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And not only the losses themselves, but the experience of grief that happens as a result of them. And so, first and foremost, Sylvia, I'm so glad that you have such a strong relationship with your grandson and that he feels comfortable asking you these questions. Not that he needs some sort of safety, because it's probably very natural. Like, you know, where's granddad? What's going on here? And I'm going to hand this over to Jackie, because, man, she's just such an expert on this.
Yeah.
But I think talking about normalizing it in a language in which he can understand is really important. But as I was saying before, that in the hard feelings, in the hard experiences that we have in the aftermath of a loss, in the grief process, is that a loving presence matters so much. It is so powerful. And I'm so glad that your grandson has that with you.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you called and you're looking for a way to explain things to him. And my condolences for your loss. It's just so hard to lose a life partner, to lose anyone. But
he has been the most wonderful man, most wonderful, and not just, but he was dear and calm and stable, and was just, we had years of wonderful marriage. And I almost feel, like I said to his family, how was that privileged? I thanked him for teaching me a true love.
Oh gosh,
that's
so beautiful.
That is so beautiful. Incredible.
What you just said, I think, may be a lot of what your grandson is missing right now. Right, your husband was a big, loving, gentle presence in your lives, and now he's gone. And I've worked with people who, when they were small, there was a huge loss—a loss of a parent, grandparent, a close other family member—and no one talked to them about it. Like all the adults went around and had their grief and did their thing, but no one had a conversation with the child. And I think that that's what is warranted here. And just to say the truth that, you know, Grandpa's gone to heaven, or whatever your belief is, Grandpa has died, and there are ways we can remember him.
And I would add to that, Sylvia, that whatever you let that 4-year-old know, whatever question you have, whatever you're feeling, it's all okay.
Yeah.
To bring it to those that love you, because the people around him are going to inform him. Mm-hmm. About, you know, and it can be scary for a 4-year-old, you know.
He's feeling everybody else's emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And but I love what you just said about your love for your husband. Boy, that is a legacy that we all would want.
Mm-hmm.
And that will just bring comfort. We're so grateful that you called. But we're going to be praying for you in these days, Sylvia. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, if you can't call us during the time that we're recording live show, which is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 1 to 3 Eastern, we have different ways for you to connect with us. And you can go to newlife.com/radio. And if you're watching us on YouTube, you can click on that QR code. We want to hear from you. And we know that there are some times that you can't call during when we're recording. So we just have developed different ways for you to connect with us. I also want to encourage you, you know, we talk about Every Man's Battle here all the time, and we are offering an online Every Man's Battle April 13th. We don't offer that always, and it is a great opportunity for you men who are dealing or maybe not dealing with your sexual integrity issues to join in a healing process. And so you can call us for more information on that. We are going to continue to take calls. For the next hour, we've got some lines open. We've got some folks hanging on, and I want you to hang on. But if you need to call us, 1-800-229-3000, we're going to talk with Hurley, who's calling us from Boston and listens on WEZE. Hello, Hurley. How can we help you today?
Hello. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Yes. So I have been a single parent. I am a single parent of a 21 years old today. She is, almost 22. She's going to be 22 now in May. So this month, coming month. She is leaving college as well. So she's graduating beginning of May, actually by her birthday date. And I have been father, mother, also a coach for her. And now she's leaving college. She does leave at college. So she's done with school and not going to go straight to university. She's going to take 2 years off and work on these 2 years. She says she's tired mentally. She needs this time. Now, she is telling me that she's going to work, to live near work, which is going to be, you know, I'm in the greater Boston area. So she's applying for jobs in the Boston city, and she's saying she's going to live there. I had never really paid attention that God actually gives a time when we're supposed to leave our homes, you know, from the family, from the parents, to, you know, go live somewhere else, which is when you're getting married. That's what it says. I had never paid good attention to that until now, that I'm hearing this from her, and I'm like, what does the Bible say? And then I'm like, well, this is what the Bible says. That one should leave your home from your family to go to make a family, but to be with someone else, not to be by yourself. And what I realize is that you're making yourself an easy, we're not created, God did not create us with the intention of us being by ourselves. That's what I realized.
Hurley,
in our parents' family,
Hurley,
we're making Hurley, okay, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, so Hurley, we have just a few minutes, so I want to get, your question is that okay for your daughter to go live by herself, or is she sinning because she's not going into marriage right away?
I'm not talking about sinning. That's not my question at all. I just don't agree. Because biblically, I don't see grounds again for people leaving the parents, leaving the home, before marriage.
Okay.
So Hurley, we're running out of time, and we want to be able to hear you and get your question. That's why we keep interrupting you. So I'm so sorry. We don't want the show to end, and we not have found out what is the. You disagree with your adult child who moved out to go to college, living on her own after she graduates. She wants to get a place of her own. She does not want to come back and live with you. And so you hadn't really thought about it until now that she's making this announcement. And so you're looking for whether or not that's okay or not, because it's not sitting right with you. I know that in the Bible it talks about leaving and cleaving, leaving your father and mother and cleaving to your spouse. I also know that there were times in the Bible when people left home when they were younger and did not leave home to go be with a spouse. And so I want to make sure that you are giving her your reason, because you may take scripture out of context for this particular situation. And really, it sounds like you don't like the idea. What if you just said, I'm really worried for you. I don't believe God created us to be alone. And you living alone in the city makes me nervous. And what if she could just hear that, but still be allowed to make her own adult decision?
Well, here's the thing. The law says, you know, 18, 21 over different places is going to be different age. It is an adult. It is an adult to the point where if someone commits a crime, the police can take them in.
Hey,
you know,
Hurley, let me jump in. Hurley, let me jump in, okay? All those numbers are arbitrary, to be honest. They're cultural constructs at the end of the day.
Somebody arbitrarily picked a number that would work.
14 would be an adult in one culture, 25 would be in another. I don't know. What is your fear?
She hung up.
Oh, and what is your and I do apologize for having to jump in, but we could rabbit trail in 1,000 different of reasons along this, but this does speak to the fact that, you know, the irony that's not lost on me is Hurley describing herself as a single parent. Mm-hmm. Mm. And wondering if that's the loneliness and the struggle and the difficulty, because I want to honor Hurley. I was raised by a single parent, yeah. You know, and it was in the amount of pressure and stress. I can't imagine myself being a single parent. Mm-hmm. And so in all of the effort and time and energy you put into that, all the love you put into your children, and to then watch them leave the nest, mm-hmm. and start making their own decisions, I can only imagine creates a lot of fear and anxiety.
It does. As a mom who's had children move out, one moved out into marriage, and another moved out into a roommate situation with her cousin. Both were hard. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter. Mm-hmm. I think the one who moved out and into a roommate situation needed that time and space to grow up. She wasn't prepared to get married at that age. Mm-hmm. And she needed to be away from her parents to learn some things about herself as an adult. There are things that she couldn't really grow in, feeling like we were still dominant in her life, mm-hmm. and making decisions for her. When she moved back in during the pandemic, she kind of went back into that same role. She's in our house, so she's following our rules. And they, as an adult, you need space to be able to grow. Right. And I don't know, Hurley, that you would be able to give your daughter that space. And that is why she's wanting her own, even not being able to tolerate the direction that she was being given here on the call. It was hard for her, and the daughter doesn't really want to live under that as a grown woman.
Mm-hmm. The hard part too is parents, because I've also launched a few myself, but it's that it is the releasing. Mm-hmm. We want to launch them strong, mm-hmm. and we don't have the power to control anybody but ourselves. And that is something that parents have to release. Mm-hmm. And it's tricky. Yeah. We just heard from Patty in a previous call that she's been accused of being the most powerful woman because she decides all these things that she really isn't deciding, but right. she's getting blamed for. So it's a complex relationship, but we want to launch our adult sons and daughters strong. Yeah. I'm going to send Hurley a copy of Dr. Jim Burns' book, Doing Life with Your Adult Children. And, you know, if you're a parent of a young adult, your role has changed, their role has changed, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of conversations that are going to be complex. And a lot of times you got to keep your mouth shut, which is not very comfortable all the time. We're so grateful for all of our callers. We're going to continue taking calls, 1-800-229-3000. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Dr. Jackie Mack Harris. We're so grateful for you, listeners.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing. And we're so glad that you're here.